This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you.
And we're just going to do something different tonight. We're going to have a panel discussion. I'm going to have a seat as I introduce my panel to you this evening. So, before, when we were meeting in person, we would have on Wednesday nights our small groups. And the small group that I have the honor and the privilege of leading, I don't want to use that word, but leading, is the young adult women's small group. And we would be in our little corner, and we would be the loudest and the rowdiest group, the most interesting group. The men tried to give us some competition. We had to quiet them down. So I'm just going to have a few of the ladies from that group to join me this evening. And first, I'm going to introduce to the stage Miss Tiffany Ward. Yeah, it's you. Then we have Miss Jessica Predville. And I think you guys are familiar with this face, Gloria Premis. Good evening, ladies. How's everybody?
Blessed.
Blessed. Well, good.
Yes, Jessica is excited. I'm excited, too. I'm excited, too, to be here. And so as we, you know, over the last couple of months, we've discussed a lot of things. We've studied women of the Bible. We studied couples, power couples of the Bible. We studied different topics. But as I started to pray and ask God, what did he want, you know, us to discuss tonight? I think a topic that for women, and this isn't just for women, as Pastor Joshua kind of alluded to on Sunday, and I'll get into that a little bit. But, you know, we're going to talk about guarding your heart. And the subtopic is wounds, walls, and wisdom. Wounds, walls, and wisdom, guarding your heart. So as women, we get the reputation, the rap of being, you know, the more emotional of the sexes, right? But like Pastor Joshua said on Sunday, it's not just women who have emotions. Men have emotions too.
That's right.
Right? And as a woman, you know, you know, we can, I'm going to speak for all of us. I'm going to speak for me. You know, one minute I'm happy, one minute I'm sad, one minute I'm angry, one minute I'm expecting. I'm like, and I'm a person, I do not like to emote. Anybody, I did a photo shoot last week, and the photographer said, show your excited face. I said, have you ever seen me show an excited face in my expressions are all the same. Happy, sad, they're all the same. And so I would always ask God, you know, because I would get frustrated with my emotions. And I would say, why do we even have emotions anyways? You know, what do we need them for? And, you know, the Holy Spirit said to me, that is the way that I communicate with you. That's the way that God communicates with us. You know, emotions, in other words, is feelings. How does God express himself to us? Through feelings. We feel God's love. We feel God's peace. We feel God's comfort. Yeah. We even feel his anger. We feel his sadness. We feel his disappointment, right? So he communicates to us through our emotions. But of course, the enemy, he comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy, and pervert. So his job is to pervert any and everything that God has created. He looks at it, and you know, where God says, I've made it good, he says, well, how can I make it bad? How can I make it bad? And I think that he did that with emotions, and emotions get a bad rap that, you know, we shouldn't be, you know, wrapped up in our emotions, and we shouldn't let our emotions lead us. But when we start to shut off our emotions, which I'm guilty of, then that makes us less sensitive. And God is sensitive, and we want to be like God. That makes us insensitive, you know, to things that we see, which I've become. I can watch the news, and it not move me because I'm not emoting, because we bury those things, because we don't want those things to lead us, right? Yes. So in Proverbs, we're familiar. We should be familiar with this scripture. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And that's the NLT. And the NIV says that it determines the course of your life, the direction of your life. And we know that our heart is our will, our mind, and our emotions, right? And so as I read it, I said, it would make sense. You know, the thoughts that we think, the things that we feel, and the things that we desire, that's what drives us. Yeah. That's what drives us and drives the direction of our lives. And as I began to think about this, I said, well, who in Scripture, because you know it all, you got to have Scripture. You got to have Scripture. Who in Scripture didn't guard their heart? A lot of people. Yeah. Who didn't guard their heart and it changed the course, the trajectory of their life? And I came to Samson. Samson. And so Samson's story is in Judges chapter 16. And I shouldn't assume. But the story that's familiar to a lot of us is the story of Samson and Delilah. Yeah. Right? And Delilah, every time you hear that name, you're like, And even when we hear Samson's like, how Samson got caught up? And I think we tend to forget that Samson was a judge in Israel. And at the time that he lived, judges were leaders. Yeah. He was a man of God that God chose to lead his people. So it wasn't like he was somebody that was like half in, half out. He knew God and he knew what God's voice sounded like. So in Judges 16, Judges 16, verse 4, it says that Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah. He fell in love with a woman named Delilah. So that means he opened his heart to this woman, right? And because he let his guard down, he shared his secrets with her. Because he had let his guard down with somebody that he was unequally yoked with, somebody that he didn't put up boundaries with, somebody that he thought he could trust, because he let his feelings lead him, right? So how did this happen? Because he allowed his feelings alone to guide him. So if we should not dismiss our feelings, right? And we should emote and we should feel, and it's good to feel, but we can't let them lead us. We cannot rely on our feelings or just our emotions, because it has to be balanced with something. And the thing that it has to be balanced with is truth. That truth is like the gatekeeper that's standing at your heart. And how do we know truth? The truth is in the fruit. The truth is in the fruit. The word of God says that, you know, by their fruit, you will know them. By your fruit, we will know them. And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships, although in this example, it was a romantic relationship. Any relationship, if it's business, you know, like, oh, yeah, this sounds like a good deal. This feels like a good deal. But what's the truth? What's the fruit of it? Yeah. You know, even with family, friends, you know, what is the fruit of the relationship? Another thing that goes along with truth and that allows us to recognize the truth is discernment. Is discernment. Like, God has given us this gift. Do not ignore the Holy Spirit when he is stirring that gift of discernment. Do not ignore it. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. He is omniscient. So he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he does.
So if we do not guard our hearts and we let the wrong people or things in, we can get crushed. Yeah. We can get crushed, and we can get crushed with heartbreak, disappointment, rejection, fear, distrust. And then God got to go into
healing mode.
Exactly. Yeah. You took it right out of my mouth, Gloria. Healing mode. And that could take a while.
Yeah.
And I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. So I'm trying to avoid that. Right? So I mentioned a couple of things, a couple of ramifications of not guarding your heart, you know, but I wanted to ask you guys, what are some things that you might experience if we do not guard our hearts?
Okay. So I believe that the some things that could happen is we could close ourselves off to certain opportunities that God has. So in those situations where we're not guarding our heart and we're hurt by that circumstance, that can develop unforgiveness. And we all know what unforgiveness can do to our hearts. And let's say next time God wants to bring a new person into your life or a similar situation, if you're not healed and whole and you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to guide you through forgiving that person, you will close yourself off from the opportunity that God has for you. And it's such a shame because God wants to show us so much, but he can only take you as far as you're willing to go. So if you're not willing to let that go, there's a space being occupied with the blessing that God wants to give you.
Amen. Amen. Okay, Jessica.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to use scripture. As I was thinking about that question, the Lord took me to Mark 7:21-23. And it said, "It was what comes from inside that defiles you. From within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defiles you." So it's not just one thing that can happen. There's not just one ramification. It's plenty of things that can happen. And once one door, what I see in the spirit is, people think, oh, no, it's just this thing. It's just this one area. It's not just a one area thing. You open the door and it's like a floodgate of spirits that come in. You know, unforgiveness leads to bitterness. Bitterness leads to envy. Envy leads to... So it's like a whole... It's a conglomerate of these unclean spirits that are now at work within you. And then when these spirits are at work within you, where's the Holy Spirit? Yeah.
There's no room for him.
There's no room for the Holy Spirit. Amen.
There's no room for the Holy Spirit. And I think that's one thing that we have to be cognizant and aware of. The reason why we need to guard our hearts is because it's not just one thing that's going to slip in. No. You know, the enemy, he's coming with the whole army. He's coming with him. He's coming with a bundle package. A family plan. He covered with everybody, yes. You know, so that's why we have to, you know, guard our hearts so that, you know, nobody can get in. That's well, nobody right. That God doesn't want in.
That's right. Tiffany? I know I had like a Sunday school teacher and she made up this song.
Sing it.
No. Candy can sing it.
No, she can't.
Minister Candy can sing it. But she made up the song and basically it talked about like putting gates over your eyes, putting gates over your ears, putting gates
was
over your
Miss
mouth.
Was that Miss Virginia?
Yes, it was. But basically, you know, just protect that, covering yourself and what comes in. And the biggest reference that I can take that from would be in Matthew 4 when it talks about Jesus, how he was fasting for 40 days. And you know, in his most intimate time, like towards the end of his fast, the devil comes trying to tempt him with all types of enticing things, you know, telling him to turn the stone into bread, yeah. Telling him, why don't you just jump off the cliff? You know, you're Jesus, you're good. Like, you'll bounce back. Or, you know, telling him to worship him. But if Jesus wasn't guarding his heart, like his purpose, our Savior's purpose, we'd be doomed. Like, yeah, it'd be right. Doomed.
Amen. So then that brings me to the next question, and we might go back. That. But so how do you guard your heart?
Okay. I guard my heart with the word of God.
Yeah.
That's honestly the truth. If it doesn't line up with that, then I don't really want anything to do with it. Because in life, it's very easy. Like you said, Samson went based off of his feelings instead of really allowing the Lord to lead him. Oftentimes we go to God for miracles, for all these extravagant things, but God cares about the details.
Yeah.
He cares about your relationships. He cares about those who you allow around about you. Jesus was very real with it. He had his 3, he had his 12, and he had all the other ones. He knew that it was so important to make sure that he surrounded himself with the right people so that his heart could be good. Because it says out of life flows from it. You have a lock for your house. You have a lock for your car. But you don't have a lock for your heart.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. So before you go. So what you were saying about that is what I put as boundaries.
Yeah.
That Jesus had boundaries. You know, he took, you know, his 3 closest friends, his BFFs. Peter, James, and John, he took those 3 with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. He didn't take the 12
yeah.
with him. He only took the 3 because he knew who he could be vulnerable with. And then he told the 3, y'all don't tell nobody what happened up here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you have to have people in your life who you know they will guard your secrets.
Yeah. Yeah.
They won't expose your secrets like Delilah exposed Samson's secrets. So the people that you allow in and you allow close to you, you have to be able to trust them that they're going to cover your secrets. Mm-hmm. Tiffany, you wanted to say something?
I did. I be mindful of what I listen to and what I receive. In Colossians 3, verse 5, and I'm reading the ESV version, it says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness," which is idolatry. And it reminds me of, like, a time I was watching this movie. we were talking about it recently, but this movie is called Waiting to Exhale. And basically, in this movie, like, after I was watching it, I just became really angry. Like, I wanted to burn someone's car up.
No!
I wanted to bleed, because that's what they did in the movie.
That's
what they did in the movie.
Yes.
Disclaimer.
Let's keep it transparent.
But
yes.
I watched it, and I just became so angry. And I can remember it to this day. There was nothing wrong with me. I had a great day. You know, no one wronged me in any way. So from that, I kind of
like 11.
I tried to...
You know what? Now that you say that, is a song in there.
Yes.
I think Mary J. Blige wrote that song. And I would... Yeah, and I would be singing it. Nobody hurt me.
At 11. No, I was 11.
Singing this song in the mirror. 16. Yeah, and I'm like, girl, ain't nobody. You don't even know. Go sit somewhere, please. So that is about guarding your gaze. And a lot, and we talked about this before in our group, you know, those songs that we were so invested in.
Yeah.
And so, like,
and
we nothing at all.
Turn off the lights, sing it.
Nothing at
the
all. And it's like, you know, that's not even your feeling. That's somebody else's emotions being projected on you. And then you take it up. And like I would tell my mom, sometimes she gives me false memories where she tried to make me remember something. Don't you remember? I was not born. I do not remember that. So, yeah. And also back to what Gloria was saying about lining stuff up with the word of God. We see that Jesus did that. When you talked about him being tempted in the wilderness, he was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was legit hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the enemy came and said, hey, remember, you're the Son of God. You can turn this rock into bread. And what did he say? He came back with scripture.
Yeah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
You know, I might be hungry, but like he told the disciples, I have food that you know nothing about.
Yeah. Man.
That you know nothing about. So when the enemy comes with these emotions, false emotions, you know, you have to go back to the word. And also you have to be introspective and you have to be willing to be honest with yourself. With yourself and say, hey, why am I feeling this way?
Yeah.
Where did this come from?
Yeah.
You know, and to dig deep. You know, a lot of times we don't like to look in the mirror because we don't like the reflection that God is showing us.
Yeah.
But in order for us to get to, like Gloria said, with unforgiveness, you know, unforgiveness is ugly.
Yeah.
And when you look in the mirror and you see the ugliness staring back at you, sometimes we want to deny it.
Yeah.
And God is telling you, no, we need to wash this off.
Amen.
And I know on Sunday, Pastor Joshua talked about worship washing us and washing our emotions. That was something that he said, that in worship, the presence of God, it's going to cleanse you, but you have to be willing to be naked and unashamed.
Amen.
Amen.
Wait, Minister Kennedy, before you move on, the scripture that when you said the reflection is Proverbs 27:19, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects a man. So it's very important that I do a daily evaluation because I think a lot. I'm a thinker. I'm a reflector. And what happens with those kinds of people like me, things can get it in here. And then you'll try to make it right. You'll try to make it make sense. It's okay. This is the reason why I'm feeling like this. And God is saying, no, take this all to me. Right. And so I go through a play by play. Gloria does this.
Yeah, no,
we do a play by play. Right. And it's like, okay, so what happened throughout the day? And then you try to toss out the stuff that does not align with God. And one thing, I have to share this scripture. Because when I ran across this scripture, it was at the right time. It's 1 John 3:20. And it says, if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. And he knows everything. One translation says, even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. He knows everything. So when I start feeling, you know how people say, I'm feeling a type of way. She made me feel a type of way. He made me... I'm like, no, God, you're greater than my feelings.
Yes.
No, that's not my feelings. No, you know, I speak back and I speak out loud because if I internalize everything, I'll find a way to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
I'll manipulate the situation to be like, I'm justified in this.
Yeah. And I'm not. I have an example. I think on Monday, I was feeling annoyed with somebody. And I'm like, this person is so annoying. Shut up. Stop talking. And I'm like, just sitting there like seething. And something that I always say is that I'm responsible for my emotions. Yeah. Nobody else, like... Yeah. This person didn't make me feel like this. I am choosing to respond to this person like this, and I have to bring those thoughts under subjection and cast them down in the name of Jesus. No, my choice is to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and kindness.
Self-control.
I was going to drop that in there. And self-control. And then, you know, so I started to meditate on that instead of, okay, this person, because I was rehearsing that. Okay, you're getting on my nerves. You need to stop talking. Yeah. You still talking? You still here. And then when I started meditating on the word of God and I started to rehearse that while they're there, still talking to me, and all of a sudden, it wasn't bothering me anymore. Amen. It wasn't bothering me anymore. Yeah. And I went through the rest of my day and had a really good day. Amen. Anything else?
I wanted to add something. So, like, when we're going through these feelings and emotions, it may feel like we are right, but at the end of the day, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives within me. So we are dying on a daily. So you could be right about that person hurting you. You could be right about that person doing you wrong. Or that person that God wants to remove from your life, they may feel good to have around, but at the end of the day, if God is saying no, leave it alone and put it away, follow what he is saying. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities. So whatever the spirit that is being carried through unforgiveness, you don't want anything to do with it. And just like when Tiffany was talking about, you know, those movies, those shows, those songs that we listen to, we have to be careful what we're allowing in our ear gates and our eye gates, because those things affect you, whether you realize it or not. The enemy is looking for any opportunity to distract you and to derail you, and you can't give it to him.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Another thing that I use to guard my heart is prayer. Mm-hmm. Is prayer. Yeah. You know, and that's consulting with the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4:6 says to pray about everything. Yeah. Not most things, not some things. Everything. Holy Spirit, she getting on my nerves.
Yep. Bring
come,
it all.
Come get her. You know, pray about everything that you are feeling, to pray about it, to bring it before God, because he knows the number of hairs on your head. He is concerned about how you feeling when somebody said something to you, and you know you got that a little bit of offense in your heart. You know, you gotta nip it in the bud right away. Do not, the offense grows so quickly, so quickly. Like, that's one thing I'm like, I don't have time to be offended. Not, especially not with my brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, or even people outside of the body, because I'm supposed to be, you know, a light, you know, in the darkness, and offense dims my light. And we don't want to dim our light. So anything, as soon as it comes, we have to deal with it. So I pray, I'm like, sometimes I say, you know what? I'm just going to go to the bathroom, and I got to go pray. Amen. Another thing that I have that I use to guard my heart is godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in the abundance of counsel, there is safety. That, because people who are close to you, like we talked about the three, you know, people that God has placed in your life, you know, as godly counsel, they see your blind spots. Mm-hmm. They see what you don't see. And a lot of times when emotions are involved, they mask the truth. Mm-hmm. So you got to bring it to somebody else and say, hey, what you think about so-and-so? What you think about this situation? Am I tripping? And I try not to, like, I'm not going to ask my family, because they're always going to side with me. They're always going to side with me. I have to go to an impartial, objective counsel who is not just going to side with me because, you know, they like me. So that's one thing. And we already talked about creating boundaries. That helps. And we already talked about knowing who to be vulnerable with. So I think Gloria touched on this a little bit. I know for me, one thing with guarding, I think when I first I had probably been here a couple of years at a place, well, we were a place called Hope then, and I'd been here a couple of years, and I did not like people. Like, I didn't like people. Yeah, I didn't like people. People, they talk about you. People hurt you. People reject you. People lie on you. And, like, all of this stuff. And I was like, I don't like people. And so we were doing, it was a Wednesday night, and at the time, one of the pastors, he was doing a small group on boundaries. And there was a book called Boundaries. And in the book, it talked about, you know, putting a wall up versus putting a gate up. And that was like an eye-opener for me, because to prevent myself from being hurt, I just didn't let anybody in. Yeah, yeah. And nobody close. I still don't like people touching me. Or my hair, yes. We're
praying for that.
Yeah, y'all pray for that. So I put up a wall so that nobody can come in and nobody can get close, because that was my defense mechanism so I don't get hurt, right? But that made me lonely. Right? And God says it's not good. He says the opposite. He said it's not good for man to be alone. So what I learned in that particular small group is that's why it's a gate. And the Holy Spirit, like I said, stands at the gate. The truth stands at the gate to let you know who to let in and who not to let in. So how do you balance between, you know, guarding your heart and barricading your heart? You look ready.
Tiffany, all over there. No, I had a similar situation with you. The thing is, it's always a root issue. So it's not that, oh, people hurt me. It's always something that happened. It could have been childhood or whatever, and it's a root thing, right? And so I thought I was doing a good thing by saying, if someone did something to me, and be honest, I'd put them in a little box and shove the box over there. I'll still say hallelujah, praise the Lord, love you. But from over here, you get what I mean? And one night I had a dream and the Lord showed me. I'm not going to get into detail, but I'm just going to get into detail and be real. I had a dream that Pastor Joshua came to my house and Johnny came to my house and Pastor Sandra. It was those three. And I was like, you know, stay in the living room. You know, there was other areas in the house I didn't want them to go in. And then Pastor Joshua went into the storage room and started decluttering the storage. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's in the storage closet.
That really is Pastor Joshua. That was a real dream.
He's purging, right? So I'm like, he's purging in the closet. What's going on? And he was looking at me like, you know? But then I didn't feel like a judgment. It felt like a, let's help you take this out. And when I woke up, I prayed about it. I said, Lord, what does this mean? He said that there are areas in your heart that you have blocked off to me, where I would allow the Lord in this area. It's all fine here. But then when people, and Pastor Joshua, of course, represented, it's the three, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, represented the Father going in and saying, now let's work on these issues. What he revealed is I had vulnerability issues. And then I had intimacy issues, which are not the same thing. Right. I had to learn that. And then he had to say, when you put up a wall like that, not only are you not allowing people in, but you're not allowing me in. Yes. And I was like, you know, and I started to understand that my reaction, as I allowed the Lord to deal with me in that area, my reaction towards others weren't so harsh. So when someone did fall short, if someone did do something to me wrong or that I didn't like, I won't take it as personally. I'd be like, well, maybe they're going through something. And even if
I became more gracious.
Yes. I didn't have grace for people. And through that heart dealing with that, I started becoming more gracious. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. There's times I'll carry it home, but I'll never stay that way. It will always be like, "Rrr!" And then it's like, you know what? You know, after dealing with the Holy Spirit, I drop that thing to the side. And I'm going to give you a scripture. Philippians 4:7, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So he has made me to the point where if I have anything for anybody, I will not have peace. And if I'm not at peace, I know something is wrong. And sometimes he'll call you deeper. He'll call you, come. And the scripture says, the Lord calls and says, come. And I said, Lord, here I am, I'm coming. He says, come and talk to me. Here I am, I'm coming. And he would sit there and he'd show me not only that. And Gloria witnessed it. I'm going to let you go. But she witnessed it. I would react to certain situations, but then I'll stop right there and say, God, why did I react that way? Yeah. And he would show me stuff from like when you were 3, when you were 5,
when you were six. And I'm like, really?
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 Still?
Right. We have to go all the way back. But you will only have that revelation through intimacy with the Lord. If you're not, if you can't be intimate with your brothers and sisters, you can't be vulnerable with people He placed around you, you're not going to be intimate and vulnerable with the Lord. It's just not.
That
not
is so
possible.
True. And that was my experience. And that's why at that point, my relationship with God was more shallow. It wasn't. It was surface because that's all my relationships were like that. And once I realized that and I started to remove, because like you said, the barricade isn't just for people. It was for God too. Because God, he will pull like those uncomfortable things. Yeah, declutter those uncomfortable things up. He will bring those uncomfortable things, those things from when you were a child that you don't want to deal with, but you got to deal with it if you're going to go to the next level.
And yes.
And it's like, okay. And then he would say, well, when you're ready, I'm here, you know? Yeah. And so once I started to take that wall down, I started to grow friendships and my relationship and my intimacy with God began to grow, and I began to get closer to Him. And I wasn't like before, I hated to cry. Oh my God. Oh Lord. Am I crying? I'm crying again. Now I'm watching the commercial. I'm like Bishop now watching the commercial, the Folgers Christmas commercial. And I'm crying. I was watching TV the other day. I cried on every single movie I watched. I was like, stop it. Won't he do it? Gloria, you wanted to add something?
Well, for me, it's kind of the opposite. The gate was open, so I was letting anybody in. And the root of that, when like I spoke to the Lord about it, was because I desired love so much that there was a throne, and God was supposed to be the king of the throne of my heart, but He wasn't sitting on it. It was 10,000 other opinions. So I was like Jesus taking all the disciples up on the mountain with me. And He was like, Gloria, you cannot do that. You know, there's not enough space. There's not enough room. And I had to learn, because then it was like, okay, so does that mean I cut everybody off? And He was like, no, you know. And God is so, so good. And He's so patient with us. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. He reveals stuff to us in the right timing. Yeah. Because I feel like if He revealed it to me earlier, I would have just been butthurt and felt like, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with me? I just can't be a Christian anymore. But He revealed it to me at the right time where I was ready to release and really allow Him to be the king on the throne of my heart, to where His opinion mattered, to allow Him to decide what friendships I'm going to keep around or what people I wanted to be around. And it's so refreshing, because then it's like I valued people's opinions so much because I let them in. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we have to know who's called to us. Because if we are walking with purpose, then our relationships have purpose as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
He's gentle. Yeah.
So I just want to add to that about relationships and friendships. You know, Jeremiah 11 says that I know the plans that I have for you, right? So God has a plan. If He was as intentional and as detailed enough to plan your life, then He planned everybody that was going to come into your life. So the people that are in our life have to be a part of that plan that God has. That God has, and have to be moving you towards your purpose and moving you towards your destiny. And if they're pulling you away from your purpose and pulling you away from your destiny, even if it's a job situation and it's pulling you away from your purpose and away from your destiny, it's not a part of the plan for God that God has for you. Miss Tiffany?
I completely agree with that. In my life, how I was before, I would, you know, I'd cut people off. You know, and I'd build that wall where, so I'm just going to, nobody will ever hurt me again. No one will see me again, hear from me again, talk to me ever again. You know, nowhere.
Ghost.
But then, like, when I have problems or situations, I'm just stuck. I'm by myself because there's nobody there, you know. And then a scripture that I relate that with is Revelation 12:11. And they overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and did not love their lives to death. So when we're made to commune with one another, we're made to build relationship with one another. So if I'm not talking with my sisters and I'm not communing with them, then I'm just going to stay defeated and bogged down.
Minister Kendi.
Before we started today's Bible study, the women in the back, we were having fun. You know how we do it, right?
Yeah.
And we started singing that song, that Long As I Got King Jesus.
Sing it.
Long As I Got King Jesus. You can I don't sing. Need nobody. That is not biblical. Sorry. Sorry. For was it Dottie? People, sorry. But I'm just saying, like, we were thinking, and, you know, back in the day, you know, my Aunt Elda, we'd be riding in a Toyota to church, and we'd be, you know, jamming to that song. But when you become, like, filled with the word, and you're like, I don't need a doctor, I don't need a lawyer, I don't need a sister, I don't need a brother, I don't need...
Lies.
And it's like, no, we need each other.
Lies. Somebody else.
We're called to commune, we're called to, you know, and that's why in prison, they put you in solitary confinement, because as a punishment...
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, so be careful. Those songs, nah, they mean well, but you're singing it and you're singing it hard. You know why? Because you're hurt. So you're like, I don't need nobody. I don't need no man. I don't need, you know.
I definitely rebuke
that. No, but that's
part.
What people do. And they do it like, yes, sister, yes. And it's like, no.
Hyping you up.
No. Pastor Joshua talked about that on Sunday. Also, the DNA of a worship song, you know, that... Like you said, is that biblical?
That's not biblical.
That is not biblical. That is no, there's no scripture to back that one up. I need a lot of people in my circle of influence. I'm glad you brought that up.
Amen.
Amen. So as we began to wrap up, I just have one more question for the ladies. You know, what's the best advice that you have received regarding guarding your heart?
You always go first. One of the best advice. Okay, so someone pointed out to me that when Mary got pregnant, she didn't go out and tell everybody. And, you know, as women, we, or just people, mostly women, though, when God gives us something, we're very quick to, like, run and tell everybody. Like, oh, my gosh, I got these new shoes. Like, no, God's promise is not, like, a pair of new shoes. You know, we have to hold it near and dear to our hearts. And I believe that if she would have... she would have felt so discouraged by what people are going to say, because they cannot handle what she was made to carry. So I treat that with guarding my heart. Like, God, what is it that you want me to reveal? What is it that you, who do you want to, for me to allow in? Because it's just that important.
Tiffany?
To listen to the voice of the Lord and not the noise, which is, you know, the world. A quote, I don't know who said it, but I like it. It's the mind is the arena of faith and can also be the devil's playground. So, I mean, every day when we wake up, you know, we need to put on Ephesians 6:14-17, you know, that armor of God, so that we're ready for, you know, the battle. We're ready to defend with the word.
She's
Are you
kicking,
kicking her foot? Yeah, she's kicking her foot. Jessica?
There's a lot of good advice, especially in this house. I was trying to remember, and I'm like, you know what, Lord, there's no, because Pastor Joshua had a talk with Pastor Pete, and they sat down, and Pastor Joshua was talking about, now, guard your heart, don't block your heart, and it's true. But the best thing that I can leave with is the word of God. And in Ezekiel 36:26 and Ezekiel 11:19, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And that's a word. I take the word of God. It's personal. It's what he said to us. So I'm like, God, you gave me this. You gave me this heart. You said you took this away and you gave me this. So just like anything else that God has given me, any gift, any relationship, anything, my heart, I should guard it because it's precious to God. And that's how he uses me. And that's out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if I want to speak the word of the Lord, I have to take care of my heart. So I have to be like David in Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I say that prayer every day. So the word of God is the best advice you can have towards guarding your heart.
And for me, one of the best pieces of advice that I got about guarding my heart, because I had to barricade up. I wasn't like Gloria Letton. Nobody was getting in, you know, and it's because I didn't trust people. And the best advice that I got was from the Holy Spirit, and about a particular person. It's like, you know what? That person is my child. You know what? And I am in that person's heart. And if you can't trust that person, trust the me in that person. trust the God in that person. That, you know, that person might make mistakes, but less like you. It's not intentional. So trust the God. Don't see, you know, with your natural eyes. See with the eyes of the Spirit. Like it says in 1 Samuel that, you know, man looks on the outward, but God looks at the heart. And that's also a daily prayer that I have, to not look at people on the outside, but to look at their hearts, to look past, to even look past the I'm fine. You know, and to see the heart of people and to see them with the eyes of God. So that was like the best thing. You know, you if you can't trust them, trust that I am in them. Amen. So I just want to encourage everybody to dig a little bit deeper, to study, to show your self-approved. You know, it's good to, you know, listen to us or listen to Pastor Joshua, listen to any sermon. But it's good to get into the Word of God for yourself, to dissect it for yourself, and to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself to you through the Word and how to apply it to your life. That everybody deals with heart issues, you know, and God wants to heal those heart issues so that we all can go to the next level. So I'm just going to close in prayer. Father God, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the truth in Your Word. We thank You, Lord God, that when we know You and when we know the truth sets us free, Lord God. So I just pray for all of those who are listening, Lord God, that we would receive the truth and receive Your liberation that Your truth brings, Heavenly Father, Lord God. That I come and I bring every person, Lord God, who is wounded, Lord God. And I pray healing, Lord God, for their hearts, Lord God. Your Word says that You mend the brokenhearted, that it's Your desire to mend their brokenness, to mend their hurt, to take care of their rejection, Heavenly Father, Lord God, because You don't reject any of us. You love and receive all of us, Father God. So I pray, Lord God, that we cast every care, every burden, every lie that the enemy has told us, we cast down in the name of Jesus, and we receive Your truth about who You say that we are, that we are the head and not the tail, that we are above and not beneath, that we are the apple of Your eye, that we are Your beloved, that we are kings and priests, that we receive the truth about who You say that we are, and we walk in the wholeness that You offer us, Father God. And we pray these things in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.